There's been something that's been on my heart. We've been on Sunday mornings for some time here taking a look at our Lord Jesus in the Psalms. But this morning we want to take a look at what we see in Revelation chapter 7, and also another verse, a passage in the book of Revelation that we'll read here shortly. And let's just read this here in Revelation 7. We'll start at verse number 9, where the scripture says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands." And we think about that, of the palms, about what we learned about at the Feast of Tabernacles and the young children and crying Hosanna. That was their custom, as we understand that historically. And then how, with the Lord Jesus' triumphant entry there in the spring into Jerusalem, the children were also so overwhelmed and blessed by the things that the Lord did in cleansing the temple and all of that. They had those palms and crying out there in the temple, Hosanna. Well, we are here with these palms in our hands too, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said unto me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." Verse 16. "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." In Revelation chapter 21, we see another passage here. We read in verse number 1, verses 1 through 5. This is after the millennial reign. This is after the great white throne judgment. And this is the new eternity, the eternity of the Lord for his people. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write. For these words are true and faithful." And like I said, for some months have been thinking about this very thing and the things that I've been exposed with, things that the church has dealt with, and just the things that we see in our day, in our land, and in our culture. We just want to consider this morning for a short time that this very thing, this blessed hope and promise that we have, and that the Lamb and God shall wipe away our tears. The Lamb and God shall wipe away our tears. Why do we weep, cry, and shed tears? Well, we've got to remember this, that Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, there at the beginning of the verse says, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin, it tells about this of sin, disobeying God, and it tells, it takes us right to the end of that. The Lord does that in things that He conveys to us. Sometimes He just foregoes the middle ground to take us from the beginning to the end of a thing. And so sin is going to result in death. It's just that way. And we need to know that. This, that it speaks here in Romans 6:23, the wage, the stipend, that's maybe another way to look at it, the normal course, and that which sin yields is death. And so in all the things that we face and deal with in life, there's always this drawing and dragging us. I'm talking about our flesh, I'm talking about this world, our depravity, this world system, how we're compromised by sin in every way. It's always pulling us to that end of death. The great majority of our shedding of tears is because of sin effect on us and ours. That's the greatest majority. Indeed, there is a weeping that is for joy, and that happens. That happens, and we do cry at times because of joyous things that happen. But if we took a look at all the crying that is done in the world, the weeping that is done in the world, the shedding of tears that takes place in the world, it is because of sin's effect on us and others. In Revelation 21, verse 4, as we read, it tells us that death, sorrow, and pain are great causes of the majority of our crying. Death, again, the end of sin. Sorrow, so many things that we can have sorrow about. And this that I've seen in here in recent times of this of just pain, physical pain, emotional pain that is experienced by folks, people. You know, sin has really compromised us. There are those amongst us here today that if it hadn't been for modern medicine, and just speaking as a man, we wouldn't be here today. Clarissa and I are both kind of in that situation. If it hadn't have been from, again, speaking as a man, we know that the Lord's hand is upon things and He uses means. But there are many of us that we just wouldn't be here today because of the need and the weakness in our own flesh and the things that we've experienced and had. That because of that, the Lord used those things from our view to bring us here and keep us living, to have life and to live life. Sin affects us in so many ways. Death is the end, sorrow and pain along the way. What is it, as we consider life and all the things in life and our mortal existence here on earth, let's consider some things that cause us these tears and cause weeping. First, I think of this of fame. Well, Brother Jim, why would fame be such that would cause tears and crying? Well, the many in our day, and with the social media and things that we have, the technology and such, people always want to be famous. That's a staple amongst mankind. But now it's such that because of things that exist in our culture, everybody wants to be famous. And so many chasing after fame end up with infamy. And you know how it is. Different ones maybe that you've known of during the course of your life. Popular artists or movie stars or those actors that would portray heroes or whatever. Many of them, they come to fame and they come to great station, and what do we find out when we hear about them? They just can't cope with it. They can't cope with the pressure that comes from it. The very thing that they wanted ends up being something that oppresses them and is a burden. They are so famous that they just can't be like they used to be when no one knew them. And they find themselves very lonely, unable to trust someone. And it brings many people, many in these cases, it brings them even to despair and to weeping over the very thing and the thing that they strove for and such. It's the thing that has now become a chain and a weight about them. Isn't that something, how we are, how mankind is? Then there's this of infamy. Those that would look to abuse and seek to defy morality and lie, cheat, steal, whatever it is, and they want to have something that someone else is. They want to oppress someone. They want to be over top and have people subdued under them, and then they are found out and their crime is revealed because of the justice and the judgment of the land. Now they are trapped by their own infamy and their own wicked ways. And they're exposed. And they weep and they cry because there's no turning back from what they've got themselves into. It's really something how that is. Most of you, I think, we that are older, I thought about ABC Sports. Remember ABC Sports? And for decades, the clip that was played about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. You remember about the guy coming down the slope for the agony of defeat, don't you? Yeah, you remember him. There's another one there after that, but the one that you remember is the guy coming down the slope and going off the right side, the agony of defeat. The thrill of victory, and there were those that have attained and looked to attain and that excellence and in that mastery in their sport, and they weep because of that, arriving at that, in their joy and everything, but then they find it fleeting because they just cannot hang on to it. And then that of defeat and that of trying so, so hard. How many times have we seen Olympians? They would try and work and dedicate their whole life to a thing, and then at the race, they found themselves short of getting the bronze. Weeping and crying. Then there's this of wealth and prosperity in our world, isn't there? Wealth to be gained and success and such as that, and like with fame, the burden that comes with it, and maybe they would be so very successful in gaining of wealth and gaining affluence of that and power and control, but then find themselves with no friend that they can trust. Again, loneliness is a hallmark for many that are in this. They're so good at being able to build. But then when they arrive there, they're not satisfied. And then they find themselves, they've been good at building, but then their family's been compromised. They have no friend. They have nothing. And it just wasn't the answer. They find themselves, no doubt, privately weeping over that. Prosperity. Many that gain such cannot cope with it. How is it that we hear that so many that win the lottery and come into such a great rush of financial ease cannot deal with it? And it brings misery to them and no doubt shedding of tears. The thing that they thought was going to be the answer, it just isn't the answer. Many things that are there. Those that gain wealth and affluence and prosperity and that, and then they lose it. They lose it. Financial markets in our nation, there's been a time that they have failed and people jump out of buildings. They kill themselves because they gained it and they had it and then they lost it. They despair even of life. No doubt, privately crying and weeping because of such a roller coaster ride. Then we know of this in our world, and we don't know it so much personally. Maybe we know it some from our some of us in our childhoods. So much crying and weeping because of need. People in the world that don't know where tomorrow's meal is going to come from. They don't know how they're going to feed their children. They have people in the world that are living in cardboard. Can you imagine living in cardboard? We've got it so good in our land. Even the poor in our country are well off by standards in the world. Need for children and need for family, and there's just no help. You think about people that have medical needs, and there's so many mission efforts for medical needs in third world countries and such as that. Mothers that have their children there on their knees dying because of disease, pestilence, and such, and there's nothing they can do for them. It brings tears. It brings crying and weeping. We have in our world this of relationships, and we all have relationships because we're people, and we're here amongst mankind. We engage it all in the world, and the Lord Jesus makes it clear in the Gospels that offenses are going to come. In relationships, there's clashes. There's offenses. There's great offenses and problems in life. Broken marriages and broken homes, they bring many a tear, don't they? Much weeping. Disappointment in relationships. The one that was trusted, the one that from whom help and hope was expected, and there's disappointment and crying because of that disappointment. There's that in relationships in regards to abandonment. Abandonment by different ones and families and such of that. To be left, the grief and the burden of that. It brings tears. It brings sorrow. It brings great, great pain emotionally. There's that of abuse. So much abuse in our land, within families, amongst children. This whole thing of human trafficking. Can you imagine? Can we imagine at all, just an inkling to imagine about how it would be to be apprehended and kept in prison and kept bound by someone to be moved around for whatever their will would be in our life? Oh, it would be crying day and night, weeping day and night because of such. So much pain in the world. And understand all these things, all these shortcomings of men, all of this sin of men, and this transgression against one another, it's all because of sin. None of it is by the creation and the work of our Lord, the purpose and plan of the Lord. It's by our Father's disobedience and our disobedience working in us. We've been compromised by sin. We've been affected by sin. We are bent naturally towards sin, and we are weakened by sin. Hatred. Hatred amongst peoples, hatred amongst tribes and peoples and nations brings war, doesn't it? Fierceness. Parents who lose their children to military service, to the police officers and those that look to keep the peace, the civil servants, and those that bravely engage the needs of society, of firefighters and responders and such as that. And then their lives are taken because somebody set a building on fire, or somebody robbed a bank, took a hostage. I tell you what, it brings sorrow to families. The hatred of people because of some position or political stand causes them to be abusive toward a particular cut of people. We had last year, in the last couple of years, last handful of years, so much aggression towards law enforcement. They just became a target in many places. And brings sorrow to families and to parents and to spouses and such as that. There's a lot of tears and a lot of crying due to health things in there. Talked about it in our weakness and in the weakness of sin, and how it talks over there in 1 Corinthians about how it is that we are sown in, I can't remember the exact word, but it's we're sown in kind of disgrace. In that the impact of the body, we deal with this of dementia and Alzheimer's and our loved ones. They can't help what's going on with them, but it changes them. And it causes many a tear and much weeping. Because they can't help it. But that's what sin has done. And that's one of many things that sin has brought into us. This is cancer. It used to be that cancer was something that was more of a rarity. Now cancer is known by every family. If you're a family that doesn't know and hasn't been touched by cancer, you are now the rarity. Your situation is the rarity. It brings a lot of weeping, doesn't it? A lot of sorrow. It does so because we've been made emotional creatures. You know, there's a great resistance to crying, and I understand that, especially as a man. We want to be strong. We want to be there for our families. But it is a natural thing for us to weep. It is a release for us. It is actually unhealthy to go for a time, and so long a time, without weeping. It is. It's unhealthy. Our friend's health. Our loved one's health. I know some of you have been to Children's Hospital. It's a burden, isn't it? I mean, it is to go to Children's Hospital and to see that, you know, and what happens to children, children born with things, children born with defects, they're born with a debilitation and that. It's not God's fault. It's a result of sin. And it causes us to be burdened and to weep and to sorrow. To see a little child to bear up under cancer, we ask ourselves, we say, why? Why? Well, it's because of sin. And I'm not saying, when I say that about sin, I'm not talking about the judgment upon that child for their direct sin or even the sin of their parents. It's just how sin has weakened us. The wages of sin is death. And it touches each and every aspect of our lives. Not only our family members, our children, our grandchildren, those we know, our neighbors, but personal health. I think about the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years that the Lord Jesus healed. That woman is typical of those we know in our own lives, that she went to the doctor, she spent all of her living, and was nothing bettered. Yeah, that's not a new thing. That's an old thing that has happened. There's just some things the doctors can't help with. You get weary, like Brother Doug mentioned about the Philistines and their judgment from the Lord, and the Lord's touch, His heavy hand upon them for 7 months. You're sick for 1 day, sick for 2 days, sick for a week, sick for a month. It starts wearing on you, and you weep over it. You cry over it. You cry over our loved ones. Things that cause us to weep and shed tears are our very emotions. We are made that way, as I mentioned earlier. And, you know, there are people that live that they live totally and completely always in fear. They're always in fear. They're just afraid. It is just that way with many in the world. And because of fear, they weep, they shed tears, they cry. Just afraid about what's going to happen next. There's a verse when I deal with fear in my own life and try to help folks with this fear. The Lord Jesus tells us in Proverbs 3:25, be not afraid of sudden fear. You know, people living with the expectation, just waiting for the shoe to drop, nervous about the phone ringing. And the Lord says, don't be afraid of sudden fear. Don't be afraid of what may happen. And of course, always with the Lord, He says, look to me. Rest in me. All those things that would plague us regarding fear, we need to leave with our Lord. I know that's easy to say, but it is the truth. In regards to emotions that make people shed tears and cry, and is this of loneliness? A lot of lonely people in the world. Loneliness. Different aspects of loneliness. Desiring different things, good things of life, but they, because of things that we've done or just the lot that we have in life, we're just left to be in this lonely state. And of course, the child of God does not have to be lonely because they have the Lord. And again, I know that's easy to say, not discounting that loneliness, but loneliness, it drives people to tears at times. It's just that way. A couple married for 50, 60, 70 years, and then one of them die. There's just no replacing that. And they will weep because of that new loneliness and the dying of their spouse. Things that cause us to cry are the very end of sin that we see, and we've even experienced as a church here lately in the passing of Sister Bessie May, is that of death. To see the young die, it'll cause us to shed a tear, to weep before them, how we miss them, how we know that on this side we will not see them. Well, it's not so much that we would weep for the young, but also for the middle-aged and for the old. Death takes everybody away, again, speaking as a man and living here in this life. We will see them no more until we see them on the other side. Death of a loved one, of a friend, of a neighbor that didn't have the Lord Jesus as their Savior, indeed, that causes us to weep. That's grievous. That is grievous. And this of death in our day, with murderers and those that are bloodthirsty and taking the life of others, the nations of the world that do not want peace and only want to be conquerors of others and have no care for life. It causes those whose hearts are right to weep over such the great impact of sin and the effect of sin upon us. In our land, this of abortion, the killing of innocents for the sake of promiscuous inconvenience. If we let ourselves think about that and the greatness of that sin in our land, of the killing of innocents in this way, daily, hourly, by the minute, a great number of innocent children are being killed, slaughtered. That's a right word. We just kind of view it as somebody else's problem. That's the way I've thought about it. But if we take a look at that and the stark reality of it, it should cause us to weep. And yeah, I saw a Pew Research study just here the other day. You know, made such an impact on me. As the reason, why is it, we ask ourselves this, I've asked myself, why is it that abortion continues on in our land? You know what that study said? They interviewed probably better than 20 different denominations, religions, or cults. And the majority, the great majority of all of them that claim to be of this religion, this denomination, or this cult, what a cult is somebody that claims Jesus, but they deny his deity. Okay, that's how I refer to as what I refer to as a cult, and I think that's a definition of a cult. The majority of all of these different groups of religious folk and the thing that they claim, the organization, the group that they claimed, in all of them, the majority of them, the biggest part of them, 90% of them, over 50% of them said it was okay to have abortion legal. And so the religious people of our land being polled about what they thought about abortion, that's the reason it continues on. It's people that claim to have a relationship with God, worship of God, following God, having claiming to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, still say it's okay. We weep and cry and shed tears for many things. And I'm sure there's others that I haven't mentioned. I read to you in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. And understand, in conclusion, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth will be eternal for the unrepentant and unbelieving. That's something that I hadn't really put together with all that. And that comes straight from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many references in the Gospels in Matthew and Matthew 8, Matthew 22, Matthew 24 and 25, 13 and chapter 13, where the Lord Jesus Christ says that those that go to hell will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing their teeth for eternity. If you're here and you're not saved, we don't want that for you. We pray, we urge you, we beg you to repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that not be your eternity of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in such a terrible place of destruction and judgment of God. But that you repent and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray the Lord would save your soul by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and by conviction and working of the Holy Spirit in you, and that you'd flee unto Him, you'd cry unto Him for mercy, and that it would be with you as it is with the redeemed. There will be no more weeping nor tears for us. As we live here, we face this of weeping, and it is true, and it is the design of the Lord and the way that we're made, and as I mentioned earlier, it is a release. We do not despair in these things that hurt us, that trouble us, and these things that we deal with in life that would cause us to weep. As the psalmist declared in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so when we weep, when we cry, let us take it to the Lord. In Psalm 37, verse number 39, the scripture tells us, the psalmist declares there, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And so in time of trouble, we may find ourselves weeping and crying, but as the Lord's children, let us take it to the Lord. But one day, the promise of our Lord is, as we read there in Revelation 7 and Revelation 21, that the Lamb shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. Have you ever wiped tears off the cheek of your child? Maybe with a Kleenex, with a handkerchief, with a thumb, a finger. How will it be that the Lord will wipe away our tears? And He'll be able to do it, won't He? And He says there that He will do it. He will be able, and all the multitude that is gathered there together with Him, and the things that have been experienced by the saints, the Lord will be able to reach out with His hand and wipe away those tears. Never to shed another tear again. as it says in Revelation 21, verse number 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. No more death. Neither sorrow, which indeed is the source of our weeping, nor crying. There it tells it outright. Neither shall there be any more pain. No physical pain that people experience from disease and from trauma and from all the things that can happen to folks in life, but no more pain emotionally either. No more pain. It's hard to comprehend how it would be to have no internal burden. That's hard to comprehend, isn't it? Where you don't have anything bearing on your heart about anything. But that's what the Lord has promised unto us. One of His promises. It goes on to say there, there'll be no more pain. Listen, for the former things are passed away. Just as the Lord, if you will, as the Lord goes and to His children, to we that are there, He'll wipe away the tears from our eyes. And the past is just that, the past. It's gone. They're taken away. The former things are passed away. As it goes on to say there in Romans 6:23 that I've quoted unto you, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this aspect of the wiping away of our tears from our weeping and crying, the taking away of pain and of death and of sorrow, is one aspect of that eternal life that the Lord has promised to His children. When the Lord gives life, when He gives eternal life, He really, really means it. And it is the most wonderful life that can be known. The Old Testament speaks about this in Isaiah 25, verse number 8. Listen how the Scripture says it there. How our Lord says it there. Isaiah 25, verse 8, He will swallow up death in victory. Our Lord Jesus has defeated the last enemy, which is death, for us. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. It's even more specific, isn't it? He will wipe away tears from all faces. He'll be like that father, that mother, that on their child that is weeping and crying and those tears coming down the face. He'll be like that to wipe them away with His fingers, with His hands. And there'll be no more crying. There'll be no more weeping. And the rebuke of His people, all those things that cause us to cry and to weep, the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. One day the Lamb and God shall wipe away our tears.